Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Could you nod your head if you can hear me? Okay, if at any time you aren't able to hear, would you please raise your hand or something like that? And the first case this morning is Muscala versus Hilton. It's A19-2001. And each side will have 15 minutes if you choose to use it and 5 minutes for rebuttal for appellant. We are being recorded, so when you begin your argument, would you please state your name for the record? And Mr. Nikitas, are you ready to begin?
Your Honor, I am ready to begin.
You may then.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court and Mr. Newcomb. The Minnesota Court of Appeals should vacate and remand the matter to the district court for trial on the merits. Minnesota's appellate courts have established a clear public policy of trying cases on the merits and not to dispose of them on technicalities. We see that manifest in the Save Our Creek cases, which Mr. Muscala cited both in the appellate decision published and the Supreme Court decision. The test that goes back to Supreme Court decisions in 1921 and even further is to discern any prejudice of any of trying the case on the merits. In this particular case, the respondent has failed to demonstrate any prejudice. Mr. Muscala timely appealed the decision of the conciliation court by filing and mailing within the prescribed timeline under a rule of general practice 521B. And mailing and service is perfectly appropriate under that rule and under the state Supreme Court's Rordans case from 2005. Now, Mr. Muscala used a form for for removing to the district court that had been used previously in Hennepin County without any difficulty. In this particular case, Your Honors, the district court alerted Mr. Muscala on November 8th that there was an affidavit signature missing, you know, as the rule prescribes. On the 8th of November, Mr. Muscala did cure that defect. On the 14th of November, without any notice as to the judicial assignment, the district court purposed to nullify the judgment. And that's the word. And the register of actions actually used the word vacate. When Mr. Muscala used that term vacate, he was quoting directly from the register of actions. And any insinuation to the contrary should be disregarded and set aside. With respect to the defect in signing an affidavit that the removal to the district court was going forward for a proper purpose and not for the intent of delay, the published Save Our Creek's decision, which the Supreme Court affirmed in 2005, make it really clear that This is a curable defect. In Save Our Creeks, you had a case of a corporation's attorney signature missing. The corporation promptly cured the defect and the case went forward. The Court of Appeals, and as affirmed by the state Supreme Court, cited a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Edelman, where a charging party failed to sign and verify under affirmation, similarly to the form for removal to the district court, that the charging party was affirming this under declaration or on penalty and perjury. The U.S. Supreme Court allowed the discrimination case to go forward because Mr. Edelman promptly cured the defect. Similarly, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Scarborough case, and this is also is cited in the Save Our Creeks case, allowed a petition for attorney's fees under the Equal Justice, Equal Access to Justice Act to proceed because the initial petition did not use the buzzwords, the government's position was not substantially justified. Mr. Scarborough corrected it promptly and his case proceeded. The facts of this case were that Mr. Mascalo promptly corrected the defect, filed it, served it, and nonetheless, without giving the parties notice of the judicial assignment, the district court below purposed to nullify the removal. Mr. Mascalo timely appealed that decision to the Court of Appeals. Mr. Mascalo raised the second point relating to the failure to give the parties 10 days notice under Minnesota Statute 542.16 sub 1 and Minnesota Rule of Civil Procedure 63.03 to remove. And the state Supreme Court has found that the peremptory removal is a due process constitutional right that the rule and the statute protect. In this particular case, the district court denied Mr. Mascalo the right to exercise that due process constitutional right that 542.16 sub 1 and Rule 63.03.
Mr. Akitas, your appeal is from a conciliation court order, though, so how does 542 even apply?
Because 542.16 sub 1, by its terms, applies to everything. It's the secondary argument to the...
No, it only applies to district court actions.
Yes, well, Judge Flory, the case was removed timely to district court, and
it wasn't removed timely to district court. That's the issue here, at least on your second issue, is whether you perfected your appeal. It seems to me, if you didn't perfect your appeal, then Chapter 542 doesn't apply.
Well, Mr. Mascalo did timely perfect his appeal. He did timely cure it. The remedy would be to vacate and remand, and we'll address the 542.16 Rule 63.03 issues when we get back to the district court where the case truly belongs. On reply, Your Honor, I raised points that the respondent failed to address any of the cases that Mr. Mascalo raised, and the respondent failed to cite any new cases in support of his argument. And as the court may see in the reply brief, that the failure to address these arguments waives the arguments. Cited the published Swarthout decision of 2001 from this court and the state Supreme Court's Shepke decision from 1971. Those appear on pages 1 of the of Mr. Mascalo's reply brief. This case is a case that merits a trial on the merits. It's a car accident case involving property damage and loss of use. Mr. Mascalo has a right, and he exercises his timely right to remove the case from the conciliation court subset of the district court, and statute 491 alpha is very clear that the conciliation court is a subset of the district court, not like other states like Wisconsin or California where it's a distinct court. He timely cured his defect, Your Honor. This case merits a trial on the merits as published decisions from the Court of Appeals and the state Supreme Court have held for decades upon decades. The remedy here is to vacate the district court's decision and remand the matter for trial on the merits. And I see that I've got 6 minutes according to the timer, and I certainly will exercise the 5 minutes for rebuttal that Mr. Mascalo rates under this, and I'll be more than happy.
Thank you. Is respondent ready to begin?
Yes, I am, after coming off mute. Sorry, Your Honor.
Okay.
Can everyone hear me? Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. May it please the court and Mr. Niskatas. My name is RJ Newcomb. I represent respondent Howard Hilton in this matter. I believe that the court already has our written briefs, and a few things I want to point out. Counsel makes note that cases have not been cited in our brief. It's because no cases needed to be, Your Honor, as the rules and the statutes that are applicable to this are very, very straightforward and really don't need any interpretation. This was an attempted appeal from a conciliation court matter. Rule 521 of the Minnesota General Rules of Practice under sub B starts out and specifically states that the aggrieved party must perform all of the following within 21 days of the court administrator's transmittal to the parties. That did not happen in this case. Under 521 section B3, the specific area of deficiency, it states that they have to file with the court administrator an affidavit by the aggrieved party or that party's lawyer stating that removal is made in good faith and not for the purpose of delay. That did not happen in this case. I don't think there's any argument that that did not happen in this case. As a matter of fact, that is specifically.
Newcomb, is there any difference between not signing a complaint or having an attorney not signing a complaint and in this case having the party not include that language? I mean, doesn't it sort of get to the same thing when an attorney signs a complaint? It does have some Rule 11 issue or Rule 11 ramifications, and so does this affidavit, which I assume is sort of what it's designed to do. So if in the is it Save Our Cities? I can't remember. Save Our Parks? I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, in that case, we didn't Save Our Creek, I guess, excuse me. You know, in that case, we said, the attorney didn't sign it, and that went forward. So why wouldn't we say, particularly for someone who's not an attorney, why wouldn't we sort of have the same, I don't know why he didn't include the affidavit, I guess because he was pro se. But why wouldn't we apply the same standard?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, factually, Mr. Nikitas is the one that failed to do this. He was the attorney, and he was actually the attorney at the conciliation court matter, Your Honor. Both he and I were present at that conciliation court, and so it was not just a pro se plaintiff in this case, Your Honor, factually. Secondly, Your Honor, the rule itself is very straightforward. It says this is what you have to do, and this is the affidavit that you have to do it with. And obviously he did sign it, but failed to put the appropriate language in. And that is specifically what Judge Millenauer pointed out in her November 14, 2019 conciliation court order. Specifically stating that he did not follow the rules. I hope that addresses what you're saying. And the cases cited by counsel, from what I saw, were just things such as a missed way of putting something into a complaint or something, which sometimes gives remedies as far up as even going to trial if the evidence is something different. But in this case, this was a specific requirement to appeal a conciliation court matter. Additionally, the plaintiff did have, the appellant did have their day in court. This matter was heard before referee, I believe his name was Jolly, who made a specific decision in this case that the plaintiff's claim did not hold merit and found in favor of respondent Howard Hilton. If I may proceed, Your Honor, unless you've got further questions, I certainly. Okay. Thank you. As I pointed out, the conciliation court order, you have it specifically. Judge Millenauer made very specific findings in it. Certain things counsel has misstated in his arguments that indicates that he claims that the appellant claims that these matters were perfected and in district court. That is not the case. This matter was in conciliation court, and the removal never was perfected in this case. They misstate what Rule 522 states, and I can quote it, but the court can certainly take a look at it. But that basically is a statute that allows some amending and pleadings and things along that line. It specifically, in this case, because of Judge Millenauer's 11-14-2019 order, which was a conciliation court order, the matter was never perfected in district court. Counsel then cites Minnesota Statute 542-16. As we pointed out in our brief, that is not applicable, as this was never a cause pending in district court, which is a requirement under 542.16 Minnesota statute. And counsel cites Minnesota Rule of Civil Procedure 63.03, which is again not applicable, as the rules only govern matters in district court under Rule 1 of the Minnesota Rules of Civil Procedure. This again was never a matter that was pending in district court. It was never perfected into district court. Judge Millenauer's order was very straightforward. Counsel points out something on the 10-day rule. He certainly could have, before they even made their motion for reconsideration, objected to Judge Millenauer being on this, and he did not. And it's our position that the court should affirm the conciliation court order denying vacation upon removal or appeal of this matter, and that it was handled properly at the lower level, and that we should move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nikitas.
Thank you, Judge Riley. I did unmute myself. First of all, the matter did reach the district court. The district court did assign the case number 62CV19-7734 to this case.
Mr. Nikitas, I have a question for you.
Yes, Judge.
The motion for reconsideration before Judge Millenauer, you wrote that the counsel's good faith was inherent in the original motion to vacate, remove, and that the amended motion to add the phrase inadvertently omitted by counsel after advisement from the assistant court administrator. Is that in the record that the assistant court administrator advised you that the phrase had been omitted?
Your Honor, I put that in there in the cured papers, and I certainly did bring that up. And Your Honor, when I say that it was inherent, this is by reference to Rule 11. If an attorney is signing a document, he or she is affirming that.
No, my question is.
Yeah, the answer is yes. It's part of the record.
My question was, is there something in the record before the motion for reconsideration that you filed where the district court administrator told you that the phrase had been omitted?
It should be at, that's right. Index number 3, okay? Index number 3 would reflect that in the record, Your Honor.
Thank you. I didn't see it. I'll take a look at it after this hearing.
Okay. And Your Honor, the court did assign a district court number. The respondent is misapprehending the nature of conciliation court. There is no record in conciliation court. when cases come to the district court, it's a matter of de novo review as if we're starting from scratch. So with the respondent saying that he won before, he should win again, the law doesn't give any credence to that argument whatsoever. And as far as the application of Rule 522, that rule does allow the amending of pleadings within 30 days of the filing. And we argue that by adding the affirmation of being brought in good faith and not for the purpose of delay within 30 days, he's complying with the letter, if not the spirit of Rule 522. And when it comes to verifications that were missing, which were cured, just look at the Save Our Creek case, Your Honor, and its citation to Edelman. A mandatory verification in the charge of discrimination was missing, but it was allowed to be cured. And in the Scarborough case that Save Our Creeks also cited, the positive assertion that the government's position was not substantially justified, which is required, was missing, but it was allowed to be cured. When the respondent cites a litany of mandatory items in Rule 521B, one of the mandatory items, what it includes a signature by a corporation attorney when a case goes to the district court. And certainly this court in Save Our Creeks allowed cure of that defect. The corporation's attorney failed to sign, and the district court allowed cure, and the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court affirmed. You can correct that. Mr. Mascalo, through counsel, has corrected that. He corrected it timely. There's no question that he did respond as quickly as he was required. And the case should go forward in the district court and even be reassigned to case 62 CV 1977-34. Your Honor, I lost the video for the clerk, so I don't know how much time I have left.
You have 7 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think my time is pretty good. Court should vacate and remand.
Thank you very much. And we will be adjourning now to conference. I'm going to ask my colleagues or tell them that I'm going to try to connect via Skype. So we'll see what happens. If I don't, I'll put in a conference call to you both. And thank you, Mr. Nikitas and Mr. Newcomb. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you.
We are in adjournment.
Thank you, Your Honors.